are now listening to Next on Scene. Next on Scene is tomorrow's scene today, from up-and-coming products, designers, talent, musicians, celebrities, you name it, we want to showcase it. Are you next? Get Next on Scene with Jay-Z today. Welcome back to Next on Scene. It is your host, Jackie, and today I'm so excited to announce our really exciting guest on the line who's coming on from the Minnesota area. Kateri Ruiz is the founder of the Maya Community, which is this new amazing directory of all women business owners. How cool for all the women business owners that are listening in today. As a woman business owner myself, I'm all about the women empowerment. And Kateri and I will talk a little bit more on the podcast, connected through iFundWomen, which is an amazing campaign that helps give back. It's like a crowdfunding campaign, but it gives back to women-owned businesses. So we met through that platform, and I'm so excited to showcase her today and talk about her latest ventures, where she's going with that, and how you can sign up as a women business owner on her platform. So give us a follow on Next on Scene on social media at Jay-Z Social Enterprises to stay up to date with us, as we have a few upcoming shows the next few weeks. So we're so excited. So stay tuned for Kateri. Today, the show is brought to you by Dash of Social. Founded by fellow woman business owner Ashley Mason, she helps you take your social media strategies and relationships to the next level. Interested in working with Ashley? Go to dashofsocial.com. All right, guys, I officially have Kateri on the line. Kateri Ruiz, the founder of the Maya Community. Hi, Kateri, how are you today?
Hey, quite groovy, and thanks for having me.
Oh my God, so excited to have you. So, you know, as a woman business owner and entrepreneur, tell us what even inspired you to become a woman business owner.
Well, I don't know that there was this like magic moment. I was a bit fired up, and I was failing at something that meant a lot to me. And so I knew I had a need, and I saw a gap in what was available. And I guess I go to the, we all need to be the change that we want to see in the world. Mm-hmm. And I tend to think that we are defined by what's, you know, in our heart and what is in our head and what we do with our helping hands. And in this way, gender equality and equal representation was in my heart. It was really in my head. And I am capable of serving and doing something about it. And that's how Maya was born.
I love it. So what does Maya even stand for?
Yeah, Maya is an acronym, really. It's mm-hmm. the first initial of each of my four daughters' first names.
So cute. So,
I know. Although it wasn't cute. for about 6 months, I was trying to come up with a name and kind of the visual representation of our branding. And I was just stuck. I mean, I was really stuck. It all felt so contrived. And I'm sitting at my kitchen island, frankly, where all work is done. And someone asked me, so why'd you even start doing this in the first place? And I wrote down my four daughters' names. And when I looked at it, it spelled Maya when I moved the initials around. And I said, well, shoot, that was, you know, that was the original community. That was the impetus for doing this. And the name came together.
I love it. It's so cute. That's a really sentimental story. That's really nice. And they're all girls.
And they're all girls.
So it like worked hand in hand. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about what the Maya community is, because obviously people that are listening in probably don't know what it is. So tell us a little bit about the whole concept behind it.
Yeah. We launch April the 20th. So, yes, it is brand new. Maya connects fired up consumers who want to vote with their money and align their purchasing power with their values. And we make that possible through an online searchable website directory of women-owned businesses. And we will scale to all of the 11 million and counting women-owned companies across the United States. So women control or influence 83% of the household spending in the United States, which is currently valued somewhere around $11 trillion.
Crazy.
And to give you an idea of like the power that consumers could really have, if So women represent, females represent 50.8% of the population, which is about 165 million females then in the United States. And if every female in the United States bought her tampons for 1 year from woman-owned companies, Lola or Elle, the females of the United States in that 1 year would spend and direct $2.7 billion more into woman-owned companies than all venture capital funding did last year in 2017. Like, that's amazing.
Amazing.
Yes. And just that conscious level of consumerism literally could affect which companies get funded and thrive and replicate and grow. And so that was, you know, that's what Maya is designed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the real, like, how did Maya get started kind of question is a story. It's a very personal story, actually. About 5 years ago, my husband and I are sitting on our living room floor watching an NFL football game. I mean, it was a typical Sunday kind of afternoon. And our four small daughters are playing in front of us. And at that time, they were probably between 7 years old and 1 year old. And it was the first time that I realized five out of the six people in my own household are female. And yet, so that's 83% of my household population. And yet, we watched all male sporting events. And that was the day I looked at my husband and was like, are you even aware? And what are we doing? And so, I know. And so slowly, we started to be more conscious about the things that we were bringing into our home and what we were watching and what we were reading. Were they things that were made by women, created by women, ideated by women, done in some kind of holistic image of a woman? And we, you know, my husband and I, we really pride ourselves on gender equality and equal representation. I mean, frankly, we've never really adopted stereotypical gender norms. For example, my husband was the stay-at-home parent when our daughters were little, and I was the one that worked. And I can't find a human being who doesn't believe in gender equality. But when you ask yourself to prove it, to get to the point of, are you making conscious decisions that can actually prove that? And that's where it doesn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years ago, I started devouring every woman-centric data set I could possibly get my hands on. And all of those together told this appalling story. And so Maya believes that until women are involved equally at the highest levels of leadership, where we create, where we ideate, where the real decisions are being made, until women have equal representation at that level, we cannot and will not have products and services and solutions that truly have the potential to represent all of us. So I get a little fired up about my ability.
I love it.
And what I'm seeing.
It's really inspiring, seriously.
Oh, well, thanks. I think it's a story that frankly resonates with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I issue our family our personal challenge. So if 83% of my population is female, 83% of the things that we buy, the things we watch, the things we do, the things we read would be made by women. And I failed. I mean, I failed over and over and over again. And that was my realization, like, this should not and cannot be this hard. And so that's really when I started baking Maya.
Right.
Yeah. And then when I found my business partner, Angel Roll, that's when everything started to move along.
So if I was a potential, I mean, obviously I'm a woman-owned business. So if I want to join the community, how does that work?
That's awesome. We will launch our searchable website on April the 20th. So consumers can come in and
that's
for
so
free.
Soon. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of the nail biting, you know, stage right now where, mm-hmm. yeah, we've got a lot of things to come together, but it's super exciting. So consumers can go on the site on April the 20th and sign in for free and start searching. And women business owners, we've been able to put up almost 700,000 women-owned businesses in the directory so far.
That's amazing.
And I know. I know. Every time we add one more, I'm like, yes. So what will happen is women business owners can also, on April the 20th, go in. And it is free for a business to just be listed. And that would include the name of your company, your phone number, the general location, and really our best attempt at what your business does. But then a woman business owner can claim her listing. So for $100 a year, it allows her to build out her profile and have her company return at a higher rate when consumers are searching for products or services along your lines. So of the 11 million and counting women business owners, a little over 10% actually employ people. And so we had to make sure that for the nearly 9 million plus women-owned firms, it would not be cost prohibitive to have this, you know, fierce, loyal, mission-driven consumer and customer base that could find you. I mean, our idea was to give light and visibility and awareness to women-owned businesses.
It's awesome.
So, yeah, we want, you know, consumers spreading the word. We need consumers, frankly, to be our marketing channel as well. And, you know, this is our MVP. So we were able to fund getting this level of MVP up. We know and we have an idea of all of the features that we want to come with our future versions. But we also want to make sure that we're creating features that consumers and women business owners actually want.
Right.
So we'll be surveying a lot and we'll be listening and we'll be really listening to what we hear. So please talk to us.
It's amazing. I think the platform is just so awesome and so needed. Like, it's awesome.
It's time.
Yeah.
It's past time, frankly. But yeah, it's time.
So how long ago did you even come up with this idea?
Well, about a year ago.
Really?
I mean, I gave ourselves that personal challenge and I kept on failing. And that's really when I said, why not me? Here is a need. Here is a gap in what's available. I knew I wasn't the only person who would be having thoughts like this or ideas like this, and I'm not the only person. There will be other companies that come up along these same lines, and that's awesome.
Right.
And we want more of that. So about a year ago, I was like, it's too hard, and you know, be the change you want to see. So
it's true. I love that quote. I live by that quote too all the time. I love it.
Yes.
Awesome. Kateri, you're very inspiring. I'm really happy I had you on today. So who is a woman entrepreneur that you really admire and why?
There's so many.
I know, but who's like the first one that comes to you?
So I really want to be able to say it's like the Sarah Blakeleys of the world who are just slaying it, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, that's probably not my most complete response. So, of the 11 million and counting entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs out there, more than 9 million are solopreneurs.
Right.
And they are the creators. They are the ideators. They're R&D. They're accounting. They're finance. They're marketing. They're sales. They're technology.
They're doing it all. Exactly.
They are busting it each and every day.
Right.
And without a team supporting them. And so I give serious kudos to each and every one of them. The day that I knew that what I was doing was really the right thing to be doing was the day that I met Maria, who was an entrepreneur. You know, the impetus of Maya, you know, the community of Maya, was really about my personal story and my personal challenge. But the mission of Maya is to really tell the stories of these amazing women who, in spite of everything that they face, they keep going. And Maria is this amazing woman. She was an immigrant. She started working in the restaurant industry. She met her husband. They had a son. They eventually opened their own automotive mechanic shop. And Maria went from running a restaurant, frankly, to becoming a mechanic. And Maria told me about her story. She loved the work that they were doing and the service that they were providing in their community and the way that they were connecting people and helping people. And 2 years ago, Maria's husband died. And she instantly found herself a woman business owner with employees who counted on her for their livelihoods mm-hmm. and their family's livelihoods. She was a single mom of her young son, and she was crushed. And yet she never once asked to be a woman business owner. Like, that wasn't part of her plan. But nonetheless, that's what she knew she needed to do. And so I find when I talk to people like Maria, I am amazed at how strong and how resilient and how powerful and how truly amazing the everyday woman really is.
Right, because they tackle however they need to without over-questioning
it. They do what they have to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow, that was a great story.
But Sarah Blakely, you know, she's pretty badass too.
She is. She is. I feel like, but I think what you really honed in on is like every woman has something that to bring to the table that no one else would bring. That's the difference,
Agreed.
You know? So like, it's so true. So you really can't pick just one. But I was just curious, you know, obviously being a woman entrepreneur, like who's somebody you like were inspired by? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, before you usually come on the line, I do a little intro to like who's my guest and all of that stuff. And I wanted to, of course, touch a note that you and I connected through iFundWomen. So tell us about your experience with them and, you know, obviously about your campaign so people can, you know, help support that.
Yes, it was so nice finding you there. And the amount of amazing women that
That's
are
awesome.
On that site
mm-hmm.
is fantastic. So we found iFundWomen and chose them because we agree on ideology. You know, if you want to move the needle for women, spend your money on them
right.
and allow them to start and allow them to grow and to replicate. And if women are in a position of power equally, things will change. The data sets will change. But we have to make a conscious effort to have that happen. And we, you know, we'll put up our MVP version of the directory and our community, but we need funding and we need funders who align with our mission for all of the future features of our directory. So our iFundWomen campaign was really to allow us to grow and to keep going and to build out all of the things that we hear from women business owners and from consumers alike that they want and what they need in order to be able to adopt this level of consciousness in their everyday lives.
Right.
Yeah, but go to the site because it's amazing the stories that you'll see and the campaigns that you'll see, and I am inspired every time I log on.
I know, it's awesome. Did your campaign finish?
No, we will leave our campaign up at least a month or two after our launch.
Awesome.
Because we know that people are literally just finding us.
Exactly.
And so we're leaving it up. So please, if you go check them all out, frankly.
Please
check ours out, but go check them all out.
You're so cute. No, but we're promoting Maya today. So they just have to look up Maya Community, right, on the iFundWomen site? Awesome. Love it.
Yes.
Well, true, because all of these women on these websites should be on your platform.
And they will. Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. I love it. I mean, I'll be definitely for sure signing up, so you can count on me.
Well, thank you.
Of course. Okay, so obviously you're so much fun, so we're going to play a little game time. I do this with all my guests so people can get to know you outside of what your passions are and your business. So there's no time limit. You can answer them however you want. It's just a fun way for people to get to know you. So first question, if you were stranded on a desert island, what would be one item you would have to bring with you and why? Only one.
Yeah, that's like impossible, but... coffee. I mean, coffee is like oxygen to me, so
coffee. What kind of coffee?
I don't even want to tell you this.
Why?
I have somewhere between 4 and 6 shots of espresso every morning.
Oh my God, you really are a fuel.
It might be a little hardcore. I know.
Listen, obviously you're a powerhouse, so it's working.
Well, yeah.
Keeps the engine running, right?
It keeps it going, yes.
I love it.
And I love it. Yeah. I love it, love it.
Listen, yeah. If it works, keep it going. That would be my advice. So, okay, so that kind of hones into the second question. So what is something you have to do in your daily routine? Obviously, you have to have your coffee, but let's go a little further beyond that. What is something else you have to do in your regular routine?
Literally, the first thing I do is wake my children up and go get coffee. So there's that. But the things I have to do, I mean, I'm a mom of 4 kids, and so I get 4 children kind of going in the right direction, somewhat safe, healthy, and content. I think happy is a stretch some days, but content is always good. And I've got 1 dog, 3 cats, 2 guinea pigs, and a bunny rabbit to make sure that they also survive and thrive.
Oh my God, so cute. What kind of dog?
He's the biggest lover you will ever meet. His name is Fozzie, and he's a Newfoundland poodle cross.
Oh my God, so cute. So obviously they all get along, like they get along with the cats get along with the other animals. They all get along.
They coexist.
They
in
coexist.
The barnyard, they coexist.
That's so funny. Oh my God, I love it. They figure it out at the end of the day. It's all
they
good.
They do, yes. Yeah. They're just like people. You know, they'll figure it out, and it doesn't mean that every day is perfect, but it works.
They make it work. I love it.
Yes.
So are you from Minnesota originally?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. I grew up in southeastern Minnesota on a little dairy, beef, sheep, hog, and crop farm. And then my husband and I ended up in Dallas for about 17 years. And then we came back about 5 years ago.
Awesome. You always go back to where you came from on some level, right?
We missed, family and friends. And we have such a support system here. And it was, we wanted to make sure that the kids were surrounded by their, family.
Right. No, that's so nice. It all worked out, right? That's all that matters.
Yes. I hate the winters, though.
Oh, for the record, I'm sure.
They really are terrible.
Yes. Yeah, I'm in Boston, so it's just as bad. I'm right there with you.
You get it.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is your biggest pet peeve?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So I feel like I've had pet peeves over the years, and it generally had to do with something that was going on with me. So something would annoy me, and I tend to look at it like if there is a struggle or if there is something that's annoying me, there is something to be learned at that moment, right?
True.
There is something about something that I got to work out.
That's philosophical, by the way. That's very philosophical.
It's challenging. So I don't know that I really have pet peeves. I mean, I think I have things that I see as problems that need to get solved. Mm-hmm. And wrongs that need to get righted, and I see all of that, but I don't know that I have pet peeves. Like, so I'll give you a for example though. I think that there is a problem, and it does annoy me on some level, and it annoys me actually. There are a lot of things in our general way of communicating every day, the words that we choose to use that belittle or demean or take away women's power, the strength of a woman. And those things really annoy me. And you can find it in normal speech because most of our world has a very androcentric representation to it. So you can find it in just common language and speech. But even when you look at swear words and what the real meaning or the underlying implication of those are, I get, right now, especially, I get I guess that could be a pet peeve, but I look at it like it's bigger than a pet peeve, it's an actual problem that needs to get solved.
Mm-hmm. You're looking at the big picture.
Yes.
I love it.
Well,
hey, whatever. I just asked a question and you answered it great. So it's all good. And what is your guilty pleasure? What do you enjoy watching in your free time on TV?
Yeah, I So for about 10 years, while the kids were young, I literally turned off the television and I just started watching TV again. So I don't know that I have a guilty pleasure. I watch Wind Calls the Heart because I absolutely love it. And my all-time favorite movie is Sense and Sensibility. So that probably gives you an idea of the kinds of things that I like to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't call those guilty pleasures. I love them. And I would choose it over and over again. And I will never, I mean, on some level, the idea of a guilty pleasure, I kind of object and refuse the notion of it. If I choose to do something, I'm really choosing it. And I will do it wholeheartedly. Not all of my decisions are super awesome. So some I might not choose to do again, but
I think they're all lessons learned, right? Learning experiences.
Yes. 100%.
That's all that matters. Well, good job, Kateri. Good job. That was fun game time.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
Good questions. Fun questions.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. I wanted people to get to know you on like a fun side. So how can people get in touch with you outside of the iFund Women? How can they follow you on social media? How can they do all of that?
Yeah. So our handles on social are at Maya, M-A-I-A dot community across the board. And our landing page is up. So if you want to go and sign in, you'll go in our mailing list. So we'll be able to email you to tell you, hey, the site is live. Go sign in. So you can find that at maya.community.
Perfect. So everybody go get social and go sign up at the Maya community. And Kateri, it has been so fun having you today. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for letting.
Of course. And we hope to have you back and hear some updates of what the latest, you know, site upgrade and all the things that are going on with your iFund Women campaign and all the good stuff.
Awesome. It's a deal.
Yeah. Well, thank you everyone again so much for tuning in to Next on Scene. Get Socia with Kateri and the Maya community. And stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene. Today, the show is brought to you by Dash of Social, founded by woman entrepreneur Ashley Mason, who helps you take your social media strategies and relationships to the next level. Interested in working with Ashley? Go to dashofsocial.com. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene. Are you next? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us at getseen@jzsocialenterprises.com. Get social with us at JZ Social Enterprises on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Stay tuned for Who's Next on Scene.